Welcome to Wallowing in the Shallows, the podcast that skirts the perilous drop-off of a deep dive into television and movies. We are academic nerds aspiring to become TV and movie geeks. There are no spoiler guards in the shallows, so listen at your own risk. This week, join us for a wallow and a Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2 rewatch.
Hey, hello, peeps. Welcome to Wallowing in the Shallows. This is Tori.
And this is Rebecca. And we're talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 2, Episode 13, Surprise, as well as Season 2, Episode 14, Innocence, since it's a to be continued at the end of Episode 13.
Yeah, pretty intense episodes.
Yes. Very intense. I'm looking forward to start talking about them. I hear you've got a nice summary for us.
I do.
Excellent. All right.
It's Buffy's 17th birthday, and we find her having what might be prophetic dreams about losing Angel to Drusilla. Buffy wigs out, and the gang tries to comfort her. In the meantime, Spike and Drusilla are planning Drew's birthday bash by gathering the dismembered pieces of the Judge, a demon who can burn the humanity out of anyone. The Scoobs find out about their nefarious plan and attempt to find one of the boxes so that the Judge can't be reassembled. We learn more about Angel's curse from an unexpected source. Oz and Willow become closer after Willow discovers Xander and Cordelia snogging in the stacks. Buffy and Angel do the deed, causing Angel to lose his soul. Watch out, Scoobies! Angelus is back! Shenanigans begin as Angelus plies some diabolical psychological tricks on Buffy. In the end, Buffy is able to demolish the Judge, but can't bring herself to slay Angel.
Nice. Excellent consolidation of those two episodes.
Yeah, that was a difficult one to write.
Yeah, yeah. Lot to unpack here. Lot to discuss. And huge reveal with Calendar.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really waiting for you. I wanted you to see the episodes with Kendra. And then I really wanted you to see these two.
Yes. Yes. That was really big. I did not see her being part of that community that Angel had really affected in this way. And boy, that group knows how to hold a grudge.
Oh, they sure do.
This is 200 years later.
Yeah,
none of these people actually knew the woman who was wronged. So, I mean, hats off. I mean, it's one thing to curse somebody. It's another one to keep tracking him for 200 years.
Yeah, for sure. It's very Hatfields and McCoy.
Yes. Passing yes. The grudge down. That will never die. Well, except it died in this episode.
Yes, it did. Gosh.
The curse died anyway.
In a totally unrelated, I just happened to glance out my window and the moon is up and it's red.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if you'll
see
be able
it
to
from
see
where
it
I'm sitting.
Bummer.
That's amazing though.
Yeah, it's really cool. Okay, sorry. distraction.
No problem.
So, I was going to ask you, remember, I don't know, it's been a while since we've done a Buffy episode. Do you remember the last time we were talking about the vagina dentata?
Yes. Do I remember specifically or just do I remember talking about it?
I remember talking about it.
I absolutely remember talking about it.
Okay. And I think I meant to re-listen to the episode and I didn't get around to it, but do you see how that idea of the vagina dentata could be applied to these episodes?
Oh, I definitely feel like it. I mean, this, her having sex with Angel breaks this curse.
Right.
And usually you think breaking a curse would be a good thing.
Right.
But it actually, it kind of killed his humanity.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is actually a bit of, I had a little problem with this being what did it. Because
right.
There's already so so much of a trope of the man after he gets what he wants, saying things like Angela said to Buffy and losing interest, you know. I mean, this was like that to the total extreme, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And that bothered me. It just is kind of laying on additional guilt on a young woman who chooses to have sex. It just sat a little uncomfortably with me.
Yeah, I totally agree, because everything that has to do with sex, if there's something negative about it, has traditionally been the woman's fault. And of course, that's directly from the patriarchy, which, you know, we're making strides. But, you know, in the 90s, it was still pretty common for that to happen, that women get blamed.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
And I must say, I really appreciated Giles. We'll get there. I think Giles says some good things at the end.
Yes.
About, of course, it's not her fault. And there's no way she could have known this would have done that. And so I did like that.
Yeah.
But just the choice. I mean, he was falling in love with her. You know, even just the moment he recognized he was in love with her could have been that moment,
right,
as opposed to the much more taboo laden everything else, you know, first time for a young woman.
Yeah.
So I didn't care for that choice, but fitting right in with Vagina Dentata, I think, for sure.
Yes. So, well, yeah, I have other things to say about it too, but we can talk about it as it comes up. So,
okay, let's do.
All right. So should we start with I learned what this is called. When they're doing new stuff before the opening credits, it's called a cold opening.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You did know it?
I've heard the term cold open before. Ah. I've heard it about Westworld and Game of Thrones, I think, when they just start right with the episode. But excellent use of the word. And yes, we have a cold open here.
We have a cold opening. Well, yeah, what did you think about the cold opening?
So, first of all, thrilled to see Drusilla back. I really am liking strong Drusilla more than weak Drusilla.
Oh, yeah, now, I get that.
And we'll get here, but she seems affected when Angel's curse breaks as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like she reverts back to the doll and sort of this sheepish. So I'm not happy about that, but we'll get there when we get there. In the beginning, Drusilla is in her power, even in Buffy's dream.
Mm-hmm.
So love that. So I kind of knew immediately that Buffy was dreaming. And it was interesting that Drusilla had a little bit of blood at the corner of her mouth, like she had just fed, which is a little bit shocking because we don't usually see blood with the feeding. I mean, we see a pretty aggressive feeding of Angels later and no blood.
Right.
But it is also Buffy's dream. So I don't know if there's something significant about that, but I feel like it may be the first time we're actually seeing blood on a vampire's face.
Hmm.
Not positive about that,
remember.
But I know in the episode that Angel doesn't have any after kind of really savaging this woman.
Right. I think you might be right. I'm starting to think, but nothing's coming to mind right away about where we saw blood on a vampire's face. Huh.
Yeah.
I have to pay more attention to that.
Yeah, I'd like to keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
And so then I wish I could have heard better what Willow was saying in French.
I was going to ask if you could understand it.
Yeah. I think I caught pantaloon, like pants. I don't know if she was talking about the monkey. Pantaloon, yeah.
Oh, I wonder when that must be a callback to when she and Oz were walking down the hallway, you know, in the episode, the second episode with Kendra, you know, and Oz is telling her that story about all monkeys are French and wear pants.
That is totally it. Oh my gosh. Nice. Yes. Well, thank you for pulling that together. Okay. I think we've got it. I think we've got it.
Even if I didn't think we've got it.
I rewound it like four times and I just couldn't catch all of her words. And mm-hmm. so I just came out with pants.
I was going to rewind it. And then I was like, I'll just ask Rebecca.
Yeah. Well, I rewound it multiple times and that's as good as I could do.
Nice.
But yeah, I love that. And now that you say that, I totally remember that that yeah. bit.
Yeah, once you said pantaloons and the monkey was French, it like snapped into my head. That's what it's got to be.
And for any of you French speakers out there, it could be pantalon. I mean, I can't pronounce French well. So just approximately pantaloon, pantalon, you know, something like that.
Nice.
But it means trousers or pants.
Pantalon.
Well, Angel was looking pretty sexy in his black pantaloons.
Yes, he was. And I'd actually watched a little of this episode before I came back and did the careful watch. So mm-hmm. I had seen the ring exchange later. Mm-hmm. And it looked like in Buffy's dream, he was already wearing the ring.
Yep.
In the direction where he was promised.
Yes. Yep.
So it's like she could see that coming as well. And then I was like, has he always been wearing this ring in previous episodes? And has he had it on the unpromised? And when did it switch? Mm-hmm. But I didn't know any of that.
Now I want to go back and look at earlier episodes. Mm-hmm. You know, which episode might be good to check out is the ones with Kendra, right? Like at the ice rink or something?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting question.
I did look carefully at this point, but I didn't go back any further. So, yes. And then, of course, we see the bit that does end up absolutely being prophetic with Joyce. And we don't right. know what she's saying right. about is she ready yet, but we get right. that confirmed in a little bit. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. Angel's in danger, but it's not like it goes down the way she dreamed it. It seems as if the Joyce bit is the closest thing that like really happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I agree. It doesn't happen exactly that way, but, you know, metaphorically, you know, Angel is now dead to her. And
yes.
So, and he goes and hooks up with Drew and Spike. So,
mm-hmm.
Very interesting. I just like in both of these episodes, you know, I've just, well, especially in the next one in Innocence, it's just like, man, can't imagine as a 17-year-old, right? Going through stuff quite that heavy.
Oh my gosh.
It's a lot.
I mean, stay away from the 200-year-old men.
Yeah,
this is just a general warning for all of you out there. Luckily, it's probably unlikely you're going to encounter a 200-year-old vampire under a curse, so he's kind of still a good guy. But let's just say it's not worth it.
What do you mean? That doesn't happen every day? But that does bring us up to the opening credits.
Yes.
And then we are at Angel's apartment, and Angel, there's a gratuitous fangirl moment.
No shirt on. With
no shirt, and low-hanging sweatpants.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I wasn't upset.
It's funny, he kind of really has to hunch over mm-hmm. to sort of try to get eye to eye with her. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like, oh dude, you should just, you know, straighten your back, stand up. But he'd be like 2 feet away from her head.
Yeah. I wonder if that was an Angel stance or if he just really stands like that. I watched like one episode of Bones and then I had to stop watching it because the forensic pieces were driving me crazy.
Right. Ill-fated.
So I don't know. I was trying to think. I don't know how he stood in that. Did he hunch over in that? I don't know.
I think his posture is better than that. I really think it is. But I don't think I ever saw him with his shirt off at Bones. Not that I really saw all that much of it either. But I know I saw 15 times more of it than you did.
Yeah, that's easy to believe.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, I wasn't mad at that scene or that, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's looking good and lots of kissy-kissy here. Mm-hmm. I was really like, okay, this is going to get moved to the next level. But mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I have questions. Yes, I have questions. First of all, isn't it just like kissing a dead fish? I mean, his mouth cannot be warm. Yeah. He cannot be warm.
Yeah. Well, I've never kissed a dead fish. I could only imagine what that would be like.
I guess I should be more accurate and say like kissing a dead person who can move.
Yeah. I've touched, of course, at a viewing. Mm-hmm. And I only ever did that once. And, you know, the hand was so cold. I was like, I can't. I don't want to. So, yeah, I always kind of wondered that, too. I was like, how can she? Because it would be really cold.
I think the warmth of touch is part of the appeal of being close to someone. A big part.
Yeah.
And so that is interesting. And then, of course, how the whole sexual functioning works is beyond me. But clearly he could perform.
Maybe he had a bag of blood right before she got there.
Maybe he injected it right in the right place. Got warmed up. Yeah, this is, we're going. These are probably things we don't need to know. But it was just, I just don't quite understand it. And two vampires together, I'm kind of like, okay, well, they both feel the same.
Right.
But a human and vampire is just, I don't think this curse gave him a basal body temperature.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, there were two kind of things that I thought about in this scene. Well, three things. I already mentioned the one. You know, when Buffy says that they never saw Drew's body, and I was just like, yeah, always gotta see the body.
You've always got to see the body.
You always got to see the body. Otherwise, you just don't know. And then, of course, when Buffy's trying to leave and they're kissing, 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 I was like, it's the we're going to have sex soon scene.
100%. 100%. Yes, I said something like, Buffy and Angel might be getting more physical. And by that, I meant they're ready to have sex. Physical. Yes.
We're going to get physical. Get into physical. Okay.
Exactly. Olivia Newton-John.
Olivia Newton-John.
R.I.P., right? Didn't she recently die?
She did.
So, moving on, once we finally pull ourselves away from Buffy and Angel, Willow's hat choice is interesting here. She has beautiful hair. She does not need to wear that hat on top of it.
No, it looks really hot if you're in, you know, Sunnydale.
It looks hot. It looks too big.
Mm-hmm.
I love, and you know what? I love a hat. I love a hat when it's cold. I love it, you know, get me all cozy. Mm-hmm. But I just, they live in like Southern California. I do not think that is required.
Yeah, she's always got some outfits.
Yes. Yes, she does.
We can talk about that coat when we get to Innocence. I was just like, okie dokie. That they never actually said, hey, Buffy, you're going to have sex.
It's just like, we all know.
Kind of seizing.
Mm-hmm.
Euphemisms in Puritan fish America. Fish of the day.
Carpe diem.
Oh, gosh. I did think Oz was looking pretty good.
You know what? I love everything about Oz in these two episodes. Mm-hmm. And we will hit each item as we get to it.
Yes.
But he is so mature. Mm-hmm. I love his treatment of Willow.
Mm-hmm.
I love this interaction. Mm-hmm. He knows she's kind of nervous and he turns around as,
I'm going to ask you to go out with me tomorrow night. And I'm kind of nervous about it, actually. It's interesting.
He is so smooth, but in such a truly genuine way.
Yes, yes. I mean, that scene between the two of them was so damn cute. It was like, oh, how nice. I started singing Young Love, Sweet Love.
Wow. He's wise beyond his years. And what are Buffy and Willow, like juniors?
Yes, and Oz is a senior.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're freshmen and Oz is a senior. He's not, he doesn't have years on them. It's not 13, 18. It's like 17, 18. And he just has, at least in these two episodes, a level of maturity that I'm just very impressed by. Mm-hmm. And I really look forward to seeing how Willow and Oz evolve, because I think he is great for her.
Yes. Yes.
And he's lucky to have her. I mean, I'm not saying it's one-sided. Right. I think they're a really cool match. And I just like him. That's a teenage boy I'd like to spend time with as a teenage girl. as opposed to most of the other teenage boys we see portrayed.
He's like the antithesis of Xander.
100%.
So there's a really great episode in season 3, and there's this one Oz scene. I can't wait for us to get to that, because I think you'll be like, whoa.
Love it.
But yeah, I really enjoy that scene between the two of them.
Do you have anything else specific you want to call out about that interaction?
Good on Willow. She, you know, turns around and asks him out. So
I loved it, because that could have just ended awkwardly with her leaving, but she explained exactly what she was doing, and in fact was like, hey, would be my date. And not just, you know, could be kind of cool if you came, but really calling it for what it was, which I loved.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very good.
And then we go from the most mature couple in the group to the least mature couple in the group. Xander, Cordelia has never been false about her thoughts about your social standing.
Well, of course you want to tell everybody. You have nothing to be ashamed of. I, on the other hand, have everything to be ashamed of.
You cannot be surprised that she does not want anybody to know you're together, and you are just blogging yourself, trying to say, let's get this out in public.
Oh, okay. My mind went in a bad place. You blogging yourself. But I did think good on Xander for walking away.
Yes.
Right? Instead of like staying and trying to beg her to go with him, which is what you would expect Xander to do.
But let's be honest, he doesn't go far.
He doesn't. Yeah, Cordelia. Just laugh and shake my head when she opens her mouth.
Yeah. Yes. but she continues to amuse.
Yes, she does. And I like the exchange between Giles and Xander.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Like, are all you Brits such drama queens? Mm-hmm. You could have just said shh. They're kind of funny. They kind of have it's not even a love-hate relationship. It's a tolerate-hate relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least at this point in the show.
Yes.
That, of course, I believe changes. So
Xander has some growing to do. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's see. What do you have next?
Spike Gullah's lair?
Yes. Oh, I like it. I like it. I do like Spike Ella. I think that's the way to go.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, it's very lovely gothic digs for vampires, you know?
And what an interesting turnabout here now, right? With Drusilla being strong and Spike ailing. And boy, he got quite a wound on his face.
He did.
And is in the wheelchair. And I do appreciate, things get wacky when Angela shows up, but I do appreciate that Drusilla's commitment to him, you know, even though they've had this total change in physical strength. And at least in her case, she's now much more mentally strong than she was before. And
she's still crazy.
She's still insane. No, I agree. What do I mean by strong? more standing up for herself
okay.
and having more power. But no, the insanity has not changed.
It's actually a little scarier now, right? Because she's got the physical strength now as well.
Oh, yeah. But I guess I'm finding that much more interesting.
Oh, than yeah. I agree.
The previous iteration.
I agree. I was trying to do a Drew imitation earlier tonight.
Oh, like, wow.
It will be the best party ever because it will be the last.
Okay, I'm here. I'm here in pieces.
I got to work on it.
A little more workshopping, but I feel the bones are there. Now, do you feel like I was a little bit confused, and maybe this is obvious, but is it just kind of coincidental timing with her party and Buffy's party? Because it really seems like her party is all about getting the judge and bringing on Armageddon and blah, blah, blah. And it's not like she actively goes after Buffy. They come to her.
Right.
So I feel like that whole it's going to be the last one is sort of this idea of we're going to bring up the judge and we're going to end humanity, though then they lose their food source. So I'm not really sure how this logic holds, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things I was wondering about, and I meant to look it up and of course didn't, was that because I was thinking for some reason that party was Drusilla's birthday party. But
I was wondering that too, if maybe they just sort of coincidentally have birthdays that are very close together.
Yeah,
it certainly seems to be a party for her.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was thinking, well, if they did share a birthday, that might, because it seems like, I was wondering if Drusilla and Buffy have some kind of like psychic connection. Drew makes a comment, I think it's in the next episode, where she said, oh, I only dreamt that you... No, it's this episode.
I only dreamed you'd come.
Yes.
And so they're like dreaming about each other?
And do you think that could be context? Connected with their mutual connection to Angel?
Maybe. That could be it, too. That could be it. So, because I was just looking at Wikipedia, and they don't say anything about being Drew's birthday. Look at TV Tropes and see if they say anything.
While you're looking at that, Drusilla has a real freak out about the flowers.
Yeah. I caught the bite.
And I did love how Spike is able to calm her. And so I sure like Spike and Drusilla a lot better than when Angel is, when they've got their real twisted threesome that I do not understand, but I think Spike is going to be left at the bottom of the bed. That's what I think for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. They're great together. I'd like to look up who the casting director is, because when she or whoever it is cast James Marsters and Juliet Landau, they really called that, because those two have great chemistry together.
Yes. Yes. I'm just liking Drew so much better now. I've liked Spike since the beginning, and right. I remembered Spike from before, but I really like the two of them together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when she's looking in the box, I just could not help but think to myself, what's in the box from Seven?
You know, it's impossible. If you have ever, you know, if anybody that's ever seen Seven, anytime you hear somebody say, what's in the box, you automatically start going, what's in the box?
What's in the box? Something terrible. Let's just put it at that.
There's never anything good in the box.
Nothing ever good comes out of that box.
Well, I can't find nobody's saying that it's her birthday, so.
Okay. I feel like it's just a celebration because they're going to have all the pieces of the judge.
Yeah. I was wondering, you know, if, you know, this judge has been disassembled for centuries, how did Spike finally get them all, you know?
Agreed.
Is the internet? I don't know.
Agreed. It does seem pretty Herculean. And they're all still perfectly in their little box things that when you put them together, they magically reassemble, even though there were no holes. It just sort of lights up and the judge is put back together.
Yeah. Did you recognize the guy playing the judge?
I looked him up because I'm like, he looks like that vampire from the earliest episodes. Yep. And it is. I wrote down his name somewhere. Brian Thompson.
Yeah.
Brian Thompson. Yeah. That chin and cheek kind of situation is hard to mask even with the prosthetics. I was like, I think I know you. And bingo.
His voice is very distinctive too.
It was not the voice that got me, but I believe it.
Yeah. But that's the last time we see Brian Thompson in the series.
Oh, that's too bad. I was looking forward to another appearance in some other way. But
I totally forgot. He was in many X-Files episodes.
Ah, I believe that.
He plays one of the aliens that's always kind of like around on Earth for some reason.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyways. All right.
Shall we move on to the Buffy Joyce scene?
Yes. Do you really think you're ready, Buffy?
Yeah.
Which my parents totally freaks out, Buffy.
Yeah. My parents couldn't wait for me to drive. They could not wait to not have to haul me around anymore. So
I don't remember if my mom had any thoughts on it. If she did, I think she kept them to herself until backed Grandpa's car into the fence. Then she was a little vocal.
No, my parents couldn't wait because not only could I get myself to my activities, but you could get Katie. Exactly. So, yeah. No, my parents were thrilled.
Oh, that's funny. I did like how Buffy was working her way around to the driver's test question.
Yes.
Feel so much more mature, like somebody who could drive or something to that effect.
Yeah, she gave it her best.
She did.
She gave it her best.
She did. She did. She did. There will be a great episode in season 3 that addresses the whole driving thing again. Okay. One of my favorite episodes. Yeah, and then after the kitchen, you know, we find people in Miss Callender's classroom. Or no, it's just Miss Callender, right? And this is where Vincent Schiavelli arrives.
Yes. Yes. Doing a great job with this very short-lived role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we find Jenny is not Jenny Callender, but she's Yana of the Kalandash people.
Calderash.
Calderash. I apparently just jotted down whatever I thought I heard.
Well, I'm good. I'm glad I didn't make that my trivia question.
I would have gotten it wrong.
Well, it would have been close enough.
Oh, you know what? We missed my trivia question.
Oh, what was it? What is it?
Okay. So remember back when Angel and Buffy were snogging in Angel's place?
Yeah.
And he says, well, do all of your dreams come true? What else did you dream last night? What was her other dream?
That she and Giles owned an office supply warehouse. Or store.
In? Where? Yeah, where did they own the office supply warehouse?
That I don't remember.
Okay. Well, I'm of course giving it to you because you almost word for word said the whole thing. But the reason I kind of remembered it was because it was in Vegas. So if I'd really cared about that, I just should have specifically said, where did Buffy and Giles have their office supply warehouse?
Yeah, that I would have gotten wrong.
But you still get it.
Thank you.
Yay. So yes, here is where I say these gypsies really know how to hold a grudge. But this was a huge reveal. This was a huge reveal and kind of explained Callender getting in on the business and it. You know, she doesn't have to date Giles as part of it. I think she actually cares about him.
I was just going to ask, do you think she really cares about him? Or do you think it's all part of the plot?
I think she does.
I
but
do too.
I guess time will tell. But I think she cares about all of them.
Yeah.
Right. I think she had this mission, but now she's seeing that just as she tells her uncle later, this is bigger than us. This could be cataclysmic. And
For sure. Yeah, I agree. I think she really cares for them all.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a big drop when we find out about, you know, if he experiences a moment of happiness, but actually it can't just be a moment of happiness, a pure happiness.
No, apparently it has to be of the orgasm variety.
Yes, yes. Clearly.
Which again, I'm confused about with the vampire and blah, 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 but okay.
Right. I think most, I mean, that's everybody that's ever written about vampires. I think most people just choose to ignore that.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think, there was a writer. Oh, I'm getting on a tangent. Let's go. Let's move on.
Okay. Well, do you have anything else about Yana and her uncle?
I do not.
In this scene.
Besides the fact, I really like, I like Vincent Schiavelli. I've seen him in a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
And he's in one of my favorite X-Files episodes with the circus freaks in Florida.
Mm.
Do you remember that episode?
I vaguely remember it.
It was the one about the something mermaid. The Fiji mermaid.
Okay.
But anyways, again, I could get myself off on tangents so easily.
It's easy to do. So could I. You're not alone on that.
All right, let's go to the library where Buffy's freaking out.
Yes, and I had to look this up because I'm like, I've heard that before, but where's it from? The "I'll grind his bones to make my bread."
Yeah, isn't you know, that like a fairy tale or something.
It is. It is from Jack and the Beanstalk.
Wow, cool.
The ogre. It's part of the whole fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman, you know.
In my head, I was like, rhyme. I think an ogre says that in something.
You're right.
Wow.
He does.
Come on,
and so I just,
yourself.
I had to look up, you know, and it was Jack and the Beanstalk. So
The one
I know there's at least, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I know there's at least one Shakespeare where somebody gets served pie made from his children. But there's no bones. Yeah.
That's Shakespeare. He could be a little twisted guy.
Well, you know, Titus Andronicus is one of the bloodiest. Anyway, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, the one thing from this library scene that stood out to me is that god-awful sweater that Willow is wearing. I mean, I love Scottish Terriers, as you well know.
Oh, yes.
But even I would not wear that sweater.
Painful.
It was horrible.
Painful.
Painful, yes, yes, yes. But, you know, Giles saves Buffy's birthday party, says the party is still on.
Good for Giles. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're always in danger. We've got to have fun when we can get it.
Yes, yes, yes. But then, you know, a little bit later that night, we see Jenny Callender meeting Buffy in a suspicious manner. She's not very subtle, is she?
Not subtle at all.
I don't know what that says about Buffy, that she didn't pick up anything from his calendar.
It's really true. And no, I just couldn't agree more. And we find, have we seen Calendar's car before?
No.
I love the Volkswagen.
What was that stupid game we used to play in the car where you spot the love bug?
And then you had to slug.
Oh, that's right. Yep. That's what it was.
I think you punch somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the 70s and 80s.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, she's got a little classic bug.
I actually, yeah, at first I thought Calendar was going to do something else. I didn't realize this was the ruse to the party, because she's been just recently given the directive to keep, you know, her and Angel apart. So I'd actually made myself a note. Would Calendar actually hurt Buffy? You know, but nope, she was just doing her job, getting her to the surprise party.
Yeah. Yeah. You wonder if Miss Calendar already knew about the different pieces of the judge and was already kind of hoping to plan to do something at the party, or I don't know.
You know,
she can't be, because they didn't really come up with that plan until after, right?
I I totally hear you. I don't think it's possible for it to have been pre-planned because they were figuring it out.
Yeah.
But she sure very quickly and conveniently has a way to send Angel away for months.
Yeah.
She was really quite quick on her feet and was very effective until, you know, they lost the piece, but it really was an incredibly effective plan.
Had
it come to fruition.
Like, that's a good teacher skill, right? Being
able to isn't that the truth? She's a better teacher than I coming up with that quickly.
Yeah, she was really quick on the draw there, so to speak. But yeah, one of my favorite lines of this episode is when she and Buffy are sitting in the bug and they see the vampires with their suspicious activity, and Jenny's like,
"No, Buffy, maybe you shouldn't.
Sorry, sacred duty, yada, yada, yada."
I'm like, wow, that was such a Buffy line.
yes, it was.
Yep. And there's Dalton again. Dalton the vampire.
Who, is he the scholarly type one?
Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't, we don't have him much longer, though.
No, poor Dalton.
Yeah.
I love that. When Buffy crashes through.
Yes.
Oz in this scene.
Oh my gosh. Oz in this scene is perfect. But right before that, them saying, "I think I can hear her coming." as she's taking out these vampires, which was fantastic. And then she just crashes her own party.
Literally.
And then when she, the Oz reactions are precious, starting with just his reaction, just seeing the guy turn into dust.
Yeah.
Hey, did everybody see that guy just turn to dust?
And when Xander reveals it to him, I love that he says, "Actually, it explains a lot."
Yes. Oz and his understated reactions that are beautiful.
Yeah, fantastic.
I loved it when Cordelia popped up and yelled surprise. And Oz is like,
"That pretty much sums it up."
Yes.
But I love that shot of when they all turn to look at Cordelia. There's just this line of people looking like, "What the hell are you doing?" That's great. That was a great shot. It was staged really well.
Yeah. No, it was a good scene.
Yep.
And as we've already mentioned, Calendar immediately is like, "You've got to do it, Angel." And he totally agrees. And Calendar is even incredibly helpful and drives him to the docks.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that really surprised me at the scene is that when the hand starts to choke Buffy.
Yes.
And nobody's screaming.
I'd be freaking the F out.
Another totally underwhelming response from Sunnydale residents.
Yep. It's as if they are just so acclimated to it that just nothing riles them.
Yeah. I mean, I would have been like, "Well, you know, Rebecca, if you were ever at a party and a hand comes out of a box and starts to choke, I'll be screaming."
Good. I expect such a reaction. If you're just like, "Oh, what's going on there?" I'm going to be like, "Hey, man, what's going on here? A disembodied arm has now grabbed my neck. This is weird. This warrants a reaction."
I promise I'll be screaming.
Okay. Fantastic.
Right on. Oh, yeah. So Cordelia, after Angel tells this, you know, story about the judge and ends with that he can't be killed with any weapons forged, Cordelia, "Anyone else gonna have cake?" I'm like, "God, I love you, Cordelia."
Yeah.
All right. So, right after this, we're back at the lair. Drew, she's really frightening.
I wrote, Drusilla is twisted.
Yes.
She's the whole glasses sister. Bit.
Yes. And she's like, with those nails, like two little cobra fangs or rattlesnake fangs going towards his eyes. I was like, ugh.
Yes.
She's scatty. She's scatty.
Yeah, I don't have anything else from that scene other than that. That pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, yeah. And then we're jumping to the docks.
Yeah, and for this I said, just a man with an arm in a box heading onto a cargo ship. You know, just kind
saying
of
goodbye to his girl.
Saying goodbye to his girl. just kind of an everyday thing. You know, because people just always just kind of walk onto cargo ships, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a and little stowaway.
Suddenly the pair of flannel vamps jumps them.
Yep.
I go, I wonder if those are twin vampires and they're both wearing flannel.
And here we have the exchange right before the vamps, right?
Yeah,
we have the exchange of the ring, or not exchange, but the giving of the ring. And
You know, I was wondering if they actually got the symbolism of the clatter ring correct. So I looked it up, and in the process, found out that it was in Ireland, produced in Galway, starting in about 1700, but it wasn't called a clatter ring until the 1830s.
Oh.
And evidently, Clada is a small fishing village in Galway.
Oh.
But they think this kind of idea of the Clada ring goes way back to this thing called, I think it's called a Fede ring, F-E-D-E, mm-hmm. which means a European finger ring. And those mm-hmm. date back to ancient Rome, and they were used to pledge vows.
Oh.
Little tidbit.
Beautiful lineage there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did know someone who wore such a ring, and I can't remember who it was. This was years ago, like high school or college. I definitely knew somebody who had some sort of Irish descent or pretended to, you know.
Right.
Put a lot more stock into it than they actually had.
Yeah.
But I can't remember who it was.
We have... On my father's side, a little bit of Irish.
Hmm.
And that comes from...
On your father's side?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Well, and that's the Spanish.
Ah.
That came over to Mexico.
Okay.
But it's just a wee tiny bit.
Interesting. So,
really
Drusilla's
not to anybody except me. Sorry, I was taking a drink of wine there.
Oh, no worries.
That's why there was a big pause. Anyways, moving on.
Drusilla's crew gets the box back.
They get the box. And Buffy, I guess, man, she must have hit that water hard. Because she's just kind of floating there. Until Angel jumps in and saves
the day. one of his last heroic things before turning stone cold evil.
Yeah, yeah.
So, question for you.
Okay.
How many of your opposite sexed friends in high school would you have been able to call your mom and say, I'll be spending the night at so-and-so's studying the whole time, and you are Xander, and there's no way Xander's mom is going to believe that he's studying all night?
Well, yeah, that's true. And the answer is, hell no. Mm-hmm. My mother would not have put up with that at all. No.
Even if it was another girl's house, I can't imagine my mom just saying, oh yeah, sure, you can stay overnight to study all night. I don't know if it was a school night or not, but
yeah,
it seemed like a pretty flimsy excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think as we meet Willow's mother in season 3, and that perhaps might explain a little bit of it.
Okay. Do we meet Xander's mother?
No, we never meet Xander's mother.
Okay.
Anyhow, I did like, I thought it was a cute little scene, you know, when Buffy's sleeping in Giles' office and Angel's like, she hasn't been sleeping well, tossing and turning. And I love how everybody just stares at him like, really?
Everybody.
And I thought Boreanaz delivered his next lines perfectly.
She told me. Those are her dreams.
Yeah.
Like, come on, people.
Uh-huh.
I like that. I thought that's a great little scene.
And don't you also remember that, like, I can't be out during the day and she has to sleep, so... So Sleepy Buffy has another dream.
Yeah. Yeah. In this dream, are Buffy and Drusilla wearing the same satin nightgown?
Oh my gosh. I did not. I know the satin. I'm remembering the satin nightgown on Buffy. Mm-hmm. I'm not remembering it on Drusilla, but I'm drawing a blank on what Drusilla was wearing.
I'm pretty sure it's the same nightgown.
Wow. Do you think that there is some sort of, do you think with that, Buffy might be seeing that it's actually her self that hurts Angel? Because it's really not Drusilla that does it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Wow, cool. I like that. I like it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought they did a really good transition to with that close up of Buffy's eyes to Drusilla's eyes.
Mm.
And we see the party has started in the lair.
Oh, yeah. Let's and there's nothing like reanimating a dead corpse to really get a party going.
Well, I know it's always done it for me.
Yeah. You know, the judge kind of reminds me of the mountain from Game of Thrones, kind of this oversized galoog that has that comes back from the dead and has eerie powers.
Well, I have to say, I did not make that connection.
You didn't think of that?
I didn't think of it.
Well, anyway, here's where I looked up Brian Thompson. So I said he is the vamp from really, really early apps.
Yeah, Luke.
Yeah. And you know, he's a galoog in this one too.
Yep. Yep. Are you saying galoog?
I said galoog. Is that not a word?
Well, I've always said galoot.
Oh, it might be galoot.
Well, I think we're seeing some regional differences here.
Wow. I kind of want to look that up.
I mean, it's close enough I knew what you were talking about, but I was never heard anybody say galoot.
It is galoot. It's absolutely galoot. And I guess maybe I've never seen it written. I've only heard it. You big galoog.
It would be really funny if your sister says it too.
I should ask her. Anyway, okay, so the big galoot, yes, and galoot is appropriate here, I believe, if I pronounce it correctly. He's a big galoot.
I think you should still use galoog.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. And Dalton is offered up on the proverbial silver tray. Here you go, Judge. Have a little snacky snack.
I gotta tell you, I think Drusilla and Spike bit off more than they could chew here. I mean, when this judge really gets going, his mission is to eradicate all the humanity. Mm-hmm. And they have enough humanity, he's gonna eradicate them too.
Yeah, yeah. They stink of humanity.
Yeah. It'll just be Angelus left. Yeah. And he kind of needs them early on because he doesn't have his full strength. But they're lucky that Buffy bazooka'd him.
Yes. With a weapon. I guess that's not forged, but.
Yeah. Got around found a loophole.
I guess a forged weapon had to be made by a blacksmith or something.
I suppose.
I don't know. I did like that special effect when they burned Dalton.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty good for the 90s.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Yeah. I thought that this is where I started to think, you know, are Drusilla and Buffy somehow psychically connected? Because this is where she says, I only dreamed you'd come.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Kind of interesting. But I like that idea you threw out earlier that maybe it's because of Angel that they have this connection.
Yes, they're both really connected. They're just both so connected to him. For different reasons, obviously.
Yes, yes. I liked that the judge was easily kicked back by Buffy, I guess.
And she just had a little sudden fever. That's all that it did to her with just a little kick. Yeah.
And, you know, conveniently, the TVs are hanging from the ceiling and Angel is able to bring them down so they can have a chance to escape through the sewers. I wonder what Sunnyvale has a lot of sewers, I think. Do all cities have that many sewers underneath them?
I certainly don't think so many that are so easy to get in and out of.
Yeah. But this whole thing... I wrote down, it might be our last night on Earth moment, so we should probably have sex moment.
Definitely. And just back on the sewers for just a moment. Again with the sewers?
Again with the sewers, yeah.
Because it happens a lot. But yes, back to your point. Yes, it might be our last night, so let's go ahead and do this thing.
Yep.
And then after the deed is done,
yep.
Angel is in pain.
Yes.
And
in an alley screaming Buffy.
Yeah.
In the pouring rain. Because it is a dark and stormy night in Sunnydale.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Which brings us to episode 14.
Immediately transitioning to episode 14, Innocence.
Yep.
In the beginning here, I was like, is the judge having a little prayer sesh or something? Because, you know, he was kneeling and looking the other direction. And I thought, man, Spike, you're being awfully cheeky with the judge who can burn humanity out of folks just by looking at him.
Yeah, what is it there? Like, it seems to be that I think I wrote the wrong thing down, but something about.
It's interesting to me that preparing looks a great bit like sitting on your ass.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Spike. Yeah. Drew's really weird in this scene.
Oh, who is
this? Isn't that what she does and falls to the ground?
Yes. This is where I'm saying it seems like she gets transformed in some way at the same time as Angel does.
Well, she's supposed to have the sight. So I think that's why she knew what was happening to Angel.
Okay. But then she starts acting all younger again with the doll and
that
everything.
That was annoying.
Yeah, really annoying.
Well, Angel is her daddy.
Yeah, that's true. That's disgusting.
Yeah. But yeah, and then they cut back to that alley scene. And again, still the dark and stormy night. And Buffy wakes up and Angel's gone. Angel, we see Angel in the alley. And he's like, oh no. I do like this scene though. You know, when that woman's in the doorway. I guess, I don't know, are we supposed to assume she's a hooker? Standing in the dark alley at night?
Could be. But she's, man, sure a concerned citizen.
Yeah, that actress had cheeks and a jawline that could cut paper.
Well, she's short-lived.
Yeah. But I did like when, you know, Angel bites her and then he comes up and he blows out the cigarette smoke.
Yes.
I don't want to think about the mechanics of it because that's all effed up, but it's funny.
You'd sure think blood was involved, wouldn't you? Yeah. But they managed to get the smoke, but not a bit of blood.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, it's just funny. I'm just going to ignore how it could never happen. But
yeah.
But that's the end of the cold opening.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking, I was watching the credits or the opening credits, and I think one of these days I'm going to sit down and try to figure out which episode all the scenes from the opening credit are from.
Mm, that's cool.
Some of them I know, like, right off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But some of them I think would be pretty tough to try to figure out.
And they
out.
Still haven't ditched that stupid spider one. I don't like seeing those spiders.
Yeah, I didn't like that in that episode. But yeah, so then we see Buffy trying to sneak in the house.
I did not think she was going to get away with this, but she did.
No. And I don't, I'm still kind of, I guess, ambivalent about it when Joyce is looking at her like, something's changed.
Mm-hmm.
She says she's looked different. Yes, because every time, you know, somebody has sex for the first time, they look different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, let's play into that old wives' tale.
Exactly.
Anyways, Buffy, it's usually pretty impossible when you're coming in the back door. You should have gone through your damn window.
But she gets away with it. I mean, she, Joyce seems none the wiser, even though she's wearing the same clothes as yesterday, you know, and they've gotten wet and she still looks as fresh as a daisy. It's really hard to, I mean, they must have freshly laundered the stuff over at Angel's house.
Yeah. And you know, and none of her eye makeup smeared or mascara didn't run.
Nope. Hair looks fine. You know? Yep.
And then we're at the library.
Yes. So is this where Xander is just full on spread out completely across the library counter?
Yes, because I think that's when Buffy called. No, isn't that? That's later.
Well, I have Xander just spread out on the library counter.
Well, hold on. Let me look.
Maybe I've jumped
this
ahead.
This is before Buffy gets to the library, right? Buffy is not there, but pretty much everybody else is.
Yes.
And she's talking to Willow on the phone?
Yes.
Okay, yes. No.
So, because then soon after, Xander and Cordelia make out and Willow finds them.
Okay. Maybe. I don't remember. I remember a scene where Xander is on the counter. I guess I thought it was a little later, but...
And you know what? Maybe he's on a counter twice. I wouldn't rule it out.
It could be. Okay.
I don't have a lot about this scene, so you could be right.
Now, I know in the next scene, Drusilla's laying on a table. What did you think of Angelus?
Oh, I hate it. I mean, I hate him bad. I don't like him hanging out with Drusilla and Spike. I don't like Drusilla and Spike when Angel is Angelus, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not digging this. Calendar says she can't do the curse. I don't know what's going to happen, but clearly Buffy couldn't kill him. Mm-hmm. I think he's doing a good job with it? Yes. And he got me to hate him almost immediately because of how he treated Buffy. And again, just fed into that really stereotyped sort of, okay, he got what he wanted and now he's done with her. Mm-hmm. And it really got under my skin. And yeah, and then compounding that, I don't like him. I don't like him with Spike and Drew.
Yeah.
Unlike Drew, who I liked when she got more evil, I did not like Angel more evil. And so
I can't figure out what he's doing with his voice. It's different. Did you notice that?
Well, moves to New York and tries to fulfill that Broadway dream. It's tough sledding, but one day he's working in the chorus when the big star twists her ankle.
He's more asshole-y.
Yeah, he is
more
asshole-y.
I'll give David Boreanaz credit for this because while cursed, he's so broody.
Yeah.
Right. He's brooding and he's tortured.
Yeah.
And he's feeling for Buffy. And then that's all gone. He's not brooding anymore. He's doing whatever he feels like. And so I think that change in voice, That's what I'd chalk it up to, is losing the whole brood routine. And he's a good brooder. I like him brooding.
Yeah, he's a very good brooder. Yeah, and he gets worse.
Yeah. I'll brace myself.
Yes. Hey, were you saying earlier about this plan that Drusilla and Spike have about destroying the world, that it didn't make sense?
Yes.
I agree.
100% it doesn't make sense. For many reasons, but the biggest ones, let's say he does kill all the humans.
Mm-hmm.
They have no food anymore.
Yeah.
And two, yeah, apparently they've got humanity as well. So the vampires are going as well.
Yeah.
Except Angel, who he says has no humanity left.
Yes. Yes.
So the plan is awful.
It is awful. It's not very forward thinking.
I was surprised.
Vampires have not lost that human trait, because humans are also very poor at forward thinking.
And again, even if maybe they didn't realize that he would go after some vampires as well, but even if they didn't realize, they need some humans.
Yeah. Again, not planning properly for the future.
Yeah. So Buffy saves their butts too.
Yeah, yeah. The next scene is where Xander was laying on the counter.
Oh, okay. I jumped ahead.
Because this is the scene, right? Because Will is on the phone talking to Buffy and says something about Angel maybe her, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. And Xander's like, oh, tell Buffy I said hi, or something like that. And then we get to Cordelia and Xander in the stacks.
Mm-hmm.
And Willow sees them.
Mm-hmm.
And totally overreacts.
It would be shocking.
It would
I
be.
Do have to give her, it would be shocking.
I mean, I was fine with the running out of the room and so forth, but when Xander catches up with her and, you know, she goes off on him and so forth, I'm like, well, that's a little bit of an overreaction.
The whole you'd rather be with somebody you hate than be with me.
That is heartbreaking.
Agreed. Agreed.
It just means that you'd rather be with someone you hate than be with me.
I was just trying to figure out how I was going to segue to that. But thank you. You did it for me.
I just went for it.
Yeah.
Because that's the part that was the hardest to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. That was totally heartbreaking.
And she's got, oh my gosh, she's got such a better option.
Yeah.
Hang up the torch for Xander because you got a real man.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and if Xander was interested, he would have done something by now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Come on. It's not like Xander's all that great for Cordelia either. Xander is not in a mature emotional place to be good for anybody.
Although I do think Xander has a pretty good kind of self-awareness comment later in the episode, which we'll get to.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, even a stopped clock is right twice a day.
Nice. Oh, yeah. So that scene is really heartbreaking in the next one.
Oh,
Buffy.
I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it. Mm-hmm. I just hated it.
Yeah. I know you talked about it a little bit earlier. So it does pull in all those tropes and stereotypes. But shit, man, that stuff's effective.
It was ugly. It was ugly. And I'm glad she soon finds out the curse is broken. But then it's not like the curse is broken makes it better, because then she feels it's her fault.
Yeah. Because most women take that onto themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Oh, just so harsh for a 17-year-old. I mean, that would be hard for a lot of people, but for somebody at 17, that'd be really hard.
It would be hard for anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those kinds of words on it with anybody had some emotional attachment to and were intimate with. Those are terrible words to say or hear, you know.
Yes.
So I don't care how old you are or how many people you slept with. Again, if you care about the person, I'm putting that bit on there to hear. Well, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear, I've done this a million times and right, you weren't that right, good. You know, right, even if you didn't care very much about the person, nobody wants yeah, to hear that.
Yeah.
Was it me? Was I not good?
You were great. Really. I thought you were a pro.
How can you say this to me?
Lighten up. It was a good time. It doesn't mean like we have to make a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It's what? Bells ringing, fireworks, a dulcet choir of pretty little birdies? Come on, Buffy. Sound like I've never been there before.
It's terrible things to say.
Absolutely.
And if you're 200 years old, you should know better. But of course, now he's Bad Angel. So
right, doesn't have a soul anymore. So it's all about the pain that he can inflict on others.
Yeah, well, it's effective.
It sure is. Sure is. I'll call you. Oi, 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 oi.
Yeah. I wrote very few notes about it just because I wrote next to nothing because I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to remember this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I love Jenny's line in the next scene, you know, where she and her uncle are going back and talking about the vengeance stuff. And Jenny learns that Angel's soul is back or gone.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm,
uncle is like, it is not justice we serve, it is vengeance. And Jenny's like,
we're all fools.
I was like, yes, Jenny. You are all fools.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I admit, you know, as a person with Cancer as their star sign, I can hold on to grudges for a long time. But I think, you know, decades is a little bit much. A century or so is a wee bit much to hold a grudge.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Though, I guess I do have to say that the sort of keeping of this grudge has prevented, this grudge had a good side effect, right? I mean, yes, it's torturing a really bad dude.
Yeah.
And actually making him a good dude. So it's really twisted up.
Yeah. I mean, it was successful, so be glad about that. I mean, even if it only lasted a year or so, you got right, your vengeance. The guy was tortured.
Right.
So, whatever. Whatever. And then we're back in school.
Yes.
Willow is back.
Yes.
Xander must have been, like, standing behind that door waiting for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Angel shows up, or Angelus. I think it's Angel. Yes. Willow. His voice. I'm like, that's not creepy at all.
It's totally creepy. And you totally turned the lights off yourself so they couldn't see you. And
mm-hmm, yeah. Did you notice he still had his Nosferatu hands, though?
Oh. No, I didn't. Interesting.
You know, I wonder what made Xander, you know, because he ran off to get the others, but he stopped.
Yes.
Wonder what made him stop. Do you think he actually heard it? Or do you think maybe he heard Miss Callender?
Or he just got a heebie-jeebie vibe because it was just kind of weird.
Yeah. Willow.
Yeah.
Xander. Mm-hmm. That could be. Although I thought it was very convenient that Miss Callender showed up with a cross.
Uh-huh.
But I guess if I knew that Angelus was back, I'd probably be carrying a cross with me too.
I'd be getting the heck out of town.
And some holy water and a steak.
Jeez. Bad news.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Poor Willow. Wrong
place. Yeah.
Wrong time.
Not the first time, probably not the last.
That is very true. Very true. And poor Buffy.
Ugh.
When she sees it's Angelus or Angelus. I think they say it both ways in this show.
Yeah.
Things are about to get very interesting.
Oh, gosh. Anyway. Okay, yeah. Where are we? What's next?
Well, they're in the library and Buffy's, you know, basically comatose.
Yes.
And, you know, they're trying to figure out what triggered Angel, and that's when kind of Buffy figures out it was her.
Because and Willow.
Angel.
Willow had, totally.
Yeah, does. Willow figured it out.
And it seems like Callender figured it out, too.
Yes, yes.
Well, it's just the boys who didn't.
It takes them a while. Yeah. And, of course, that's when Buffy runs off after mm-hmm. she has that realization. But yeah, I didn't. I mean, I know it's women do it all the time, take it all on themselves. But it really is kind of like absolving Angel of everything. Yes. Right. Was it his fault at all?
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Cordelia. Speaking the truth.
This is great. There's an unkillable demon in town. Angel's joined his team. The Slayer is a basket case. I'd say we've hit bottom.
And then Xander says he has a plan, and she's like, oh no, that's bottom.
Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good little interjection of humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they're at the Lair. My only note for this is, Angelus is being quite childish in how he wants to get back at Buffy. Like, yes. Seriously?
And Drusilla's damn doll is back, which is awesome.
Is that where she pokes the doll with her two fingers in the eyes? Or is that might be a different episode.
I don't remember that. She was holding it.
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
Yeah.
But maybe she did. I don't I don't know. I was so I get so thrown off. I don't like the Angelus Drusilla Spike interaction. Yeah. That love hate triangle, whatever is going on there, that is just wackadoo.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure. I did like, kind of moving on here.
Yeah, please do.
I liked how they did the scene of Buffy and Angel's sexy time.
I thought that was very tastefully done.
Mm-hmm. It was really suggestive without being graphic. And yeah, it was just really nicely shot.
I wish more sex scenes were like that. I really, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I did too. Leave some to the imagination. You don't need to be graphic about it.
Yeah, we know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Really well done. And that was it. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Yeah, I my comment there was, I guess sex worked between a vampire and human.
Yeah.
Is this then do we have the dream?
Yes.
The dream. And I was like, oh my gosh, Angel is in the light.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Wild.
Yep.
Full on sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And Buffy picks up that she should really be pissed at Callender and acts on it immediately.
Yeah.
Callender caves like a house of cards. She comes she clean does. Immediately.
She does.
Yes.
One of the things I didn't like about the scene, you know, when Jenny's admitting everything and Buffy says, so it was me, I did it. And Jenny's like, yeah, I think so. And I'm like, come on, it's not Buffy's fault.
It's really not. It's really not. I mean, what the? I mean, okay. Again, I'll go back to, was this ever a good idea for her to be in love with a vampire? No, never a good idea. But given the premise, they are in love. From mm-hmm. here, this is not her fault.
Right. Right.
And where is Angel's culpability? You know,
exactly.
Again, this is the guy who's cursed. This is the guy who is 200 years old and is sleeping with a newly minted 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Who's the adult in this situation? It should be him. I know you said, you know, he's kind of frozen in time from whenever, you know, okay, fine. But he's got 200 years worth of experiences.
Yeah.
He should know better. So it's definitely not Buffy's fault.
It's not Buffy's fault. Not Buffy's fault.
So the uncle's in trouble. Nothing good with a visit from Angelus.
Ah, no. I'm glad they didn't actually show it.
Me too. Didn't need to see him taken out.
No.
But then I must admit, I love that Xander pulls this off.
Yeah.
And I love the tie back to the knowledge he gained as an army man in the Halloween episode.
Yep.
I loved this. Mm-hmm. I love that he has a real moment here that mm-hmm. makes a huge difference mm-hmm. and kind of saves the day.
Yep.
Because where else are they going to get a bazooka?
Yeah, exactly. This is where I feel Xander had his self-awareness moment in Cordelia. You know, he tells that guy, you know, the guard, that he wants to take Cordelia in because, you know, looking at the guns makes mm-hmm. women horny. And when they finally get inside, and Cordelia's like, does looking at guns make you want to have sex? And Xander's like,
I'm 17. Looking at linoleum makes me want to have sex.
Good line. Agreed. Good line.
I'm like, Xander, self-aware at last.
And then going from that self-awareness to Oz's amazing. Amazingly mature. I as much as I want to make out with you, I think you're in a place right now where you're just trying to make someone jealous. And I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until you want me, not just want to make him jealous. So I just loved that.
I wrote down, if there's any person who is attracted to men who is not in love with Oz at this point, mm-hmm. it would be like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm. Oz has it all over Angel.
Oh,
I mean, Oz.
Yeah, and over Xander. And
oh, God. Well, that wasn't even a competition.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know about Chaz, but
oh, well.
Yeah, I love that conversation that Willow and Oz have. And I'm just like, love you,
I must confess that I do believe Oz is more emotionally mature than Giles. But Giles has some particular features and characteristics that make me oddly drawn to him. That are not logical British? In any way. British. Yes, that's librarian. One. Librarian, highly intelligent. Mm-hmm. But Oz has got that too. Tallish.
Tweed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hate to admit it, but older. I'm not saying these are all good reasons for being attracted to him more than Oz, but I have to just face it.
Whatever floats ye boat.
That's it. Okay. Off of my fantasies. But if I could just superimpose Oz's emotional maturity onto Giles, then maybe we'd have the perfect situation.
Perfection. It was really kind of jarring going from that scene with Willow and Oz to the uncle's place.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Where Jenny's horrified to find her uncle and Angelus is written on the wall in his blood.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah, Angel's awful.
Yeah, but I did like Buffy's response. You know, he's only making it easier.
Well, that good for her. Yes.
Yep.
And calendar's getting iced out immediately. Understandable, I mean, but hopefully she's going to earn her way back into the crew.
Time will tell. I felt really bad for Giles, right? You know, mm-hmm. he just got Jenny back after the whole she was possessed by a demon thing. But
he does the right thing and supports Buffy in this moment.
Being a good watcher. Mm-hmm. Being a good watcher.
Like, my next note is, the Sunnydale Mall. Time for some frying.
At the movie theater.
And again, this event doesn't make everybody realize. I mean, this is why I so loved Oz saying, that explains a lot, you know, that, weird stuff happens. And here's another example of people just going into flames, you know, at the mall.
Yeah.
And I also said, Sunnydale isn't going to have anyone else. They're going to run out of NPCs. You know, there's not going to be any more. Random people of Sunnydale.
Yeah, for sure. I think Sunnydale is a lot bigger. We talked about the number of schools that they have. So I think Sunnydale is a lot bigger than we think.
Sunnydale might rival LA. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's conflicting stuff, right? Cordelia's like, we don't have a lot of town.
Right.
In season one. Right. And then they've got like, what, 10 high schools?
Yeah. Like that. Must be the greater Sunnydale area or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I did think, like, when the judge, like, zaps everybody in the room,
mm-hmm.
it reminded me of that scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah, where you had to close your eyes.
Yep, where you would get zapped by the Ark.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Angel and Drew are looking pretty happy there, or Angelus.
Yeah. Until the judge meet the bazooka.
Yeah. Just like a little gun there for Buffy.
That was quite a shot. I don't know. I think there would have been more casualties, honestly, but it was a fun scene. And then with like Angel and Drusilla jumping off the platform.
And then when Buffy tells everybody to go pick up the pieces.
Yes.
Cordelia's like, pieces? We always get the pieces. Our job sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
There she is, always speaking the truth.
It's true.
But yeah, I kind of like the fight between Angelus and Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she the couldn't Angel kill him, but man, that last kick she gives him.
Oh, ouch. Yeah.
Hello.
Got him right where it hurts.
Yep, balls meet foot.
Yep.
Wow. Oz. Arm.
Yep. I mean, Oz has been immediately fully indoctrinated. I mean, first seeing the vampire slate, then using his van. I mean, he's so cool with these capers. He's yep. just like, I'm in. I'm all in now. Give me yes. all the vampire slaying stuff. I'm yep. here. I'm yep. here for it.
Yeah. Yeah. He joins the Scoobies pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. We like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Giles drives Buffy home. He's such yeah. a dad.
Comes through on the support. Yeah, I really liked that. Yeah. I really liked, yeah. you know, unlike like you commented about Callender's response, mm-hmm. I really liked this.
Do you want me to wag my finger at you and tell you that you acted rashly? You did, and I can. I know that you loved him. And he's proven more than once that he loved you. You couldn't have known what would happen. The coming months are going to be hard. I suspect on all of us. But if it's guilt you're looking for, Buffy, I'm not your man. All you will get from me is my support. And my respect.
I'm like, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what Buffy needed.
Yes, absolutely.
She needed. And then Joyce brings her cupcake.
Cupcakes with Joyce, yeah. watching perhaps a movie you recognized, but I certainly didn't.
I didn't recognize it. I've never seen it. Okay. I did look it up. I was able to figure out what it was.
Oh, what was it?
It is because I recognized the guy, and that was Robert Young.
Nope.
I try to remember. I actually remember him more from a television show from like the 50s.
Okay.
That, of course, you know, when I was growing up, there was 50s reruns on all the time.
Mm.
I recognized the woman, but I couldn't get her name to come to me. But so I started looking at Robert Young's stuff on IMDb. And so the movie that they're watching is from 1936. And it's called Stowaway, and it's actually a Shirley Temple film.
Oh my gosh.
So that is what I'm 98% sure they're watching.
Okay. Okay.
So, and the woman is Alice Faye.
Okay. Nice detective work.
And I liked Joyce in this scene because, mm-hmm. I mean, clearly she knows something wrong, but or she knows something is wrong.
Yes.
I finished my wine. It is coming out of my speech. But she doesn't push Buffy at that point, right?
No, she's just there for her.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
It's one of the better Joyce mom moments, really, that I've seen so far, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the end of two kind of very critical episodes.
Yes. And this one's going to sting. Talk about this journey to maturity and learnings and all that good stuff. This one's big. This one's big.
Yep.
That's and painful. Sure.
Oh, God. Yeah. And it, I mean, it sets up the rest of the season for a lot of hijinks. So, yeah, some good stuff coming up.
Excellent. Excellent. Looking forward to it. Yeah, these were very, I mean, though I had the frustration there with that plot piece, very engaging couple of episodes. I was very into it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, good, no good, doubt. Good.
I'm trying to remember what is the next episode. Let me look real quick. Oh, Phases. Okay. So our next is a very Oz-centric episode.
Nice. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what you have to say about it.
Oh, okay. Here I've got such a good picture of Oz. I hope it's not completely dashed, but we'll see. I'll enjoy it while it lasts.
Yes. Yes. Well, yeah, I'll just wait. I'm not going to say anything. I'll just wait and see what you have to say about it.
Okay.
So any other thoughts about this episode that you want to say?
I don't think so. I think we've covered everything I wanted to talk about. How about you?
I don't have anything. I guess all left to do is say bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Wallowing in the Shallows is created and produced by the both of us. Edited by Mo. The soundtrack for the Wallowing in the Shallows Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2 rewatch is Apache Rock Instrumental by Sound Atelier, available on Jamendo.com. You can send us feedback at witstvpod@gmail.com. That's witstvpod@gmail.com.
Subscribe.
And then subscribe.
And then subscribe.
Subscribe.
Hit that subscribe button.
Like and subscribe.